Hello and welcome to East Valley News. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan, and today we're focusing on news from the towns of Mesa and Apache Junction. Our first story, jury finds AZ football player not guilty in shooting death of teammate. More than 3 years after Jeremiah Aviles was fatally shot inside a Mesa home, a jury found Peter P.J. Clebron III not guilty in the death of his former Red Mountain High School football teammate. Clebron, now 21, was acquitted of manslaughter, the lesser charge of negligent homicide, and unlawful discharge of a firearm after a trial that centered on who was holding the gun when Aviles was shot. The trial began June 9 and ran until June 30, when each side presented the jury with closing arguments. Prosecutors argued Clebron recklessly handled a loaded gun while intoxicated and shot Aviles, relying heavily on the testimony of another teen who was in the room. The defense argued that the witness was unreliable and that forensic evidence contradicted his story. Jurors deliberated for about an hour before reaching the not guilty verdict on July 1st. Clebron became emotional as the verdicts were read, tearing up as the court clerk announced he was not guilty on each charge. Aviles' family was visibly upset after the verdict. Some cried and held each other in the courtroom. They did not comment after the hearing. Aviles, 18, was killed May 7, 2023, in a bedroom at Clebron's home near Gilbert Road and University Drive in Mesa. Police initially said Clebron called 911 and reported that a gun went off and that the person holding the gun had fled. At the center of the prosecution's case was testimony from Champ Genix, the teen in the room. Prosecutors said Genix eventually came forward after talking to his father and never wavered from the central claim that Clebron shot Aviles. Deputy Maricopa County Attorney John Hudson told jurors that Genix had little reason to falsely accuse someone he described as a best friend and someone close to Clebron's family. He told jurors that Clebron was fiddling with a gun, that the gun went off, and that Genix saw Clebron drop it. Hudson also pushed back on the defense's theory that another teen, Hector Hernandez, fired the shot. Hudson argued Hernandez was in the bathroom when the gun went off, later grabbed two guns and fled, but did not take the weapon prosecutors said killed Aviles. Hernandez died by suicide in 2025. The thing that has never changed, Hudson told jurors, was that Genix said the defendant shot Jeremiah. Gary Nielsen, one of Clebron's attorneys, told jurors that the state's case rested on assumptions, not proof beyond a reasonable doubt. He repeatedly argued prosecutors were asking jurors to jump to conclusions from evidence that did not clearly establish who fired the gun. He argued Genix's descriptions of where people were in the room did not match the autopsy findings, the bullet trajectory, or blood pattern evidence. He said Genix had claimed Aviles was shot while facing Clebron, but the medical and forensic evidence showed Aviles was shot from behind. The defense also pointed to blood evidence on Hernandez's shorts, the lack of gunshot residue testing, uncollected clothing, and questions about whether the firearm could have misfired. Nielsen argued that the state put together a selective investigation against Clebron. After the verdict, Clebron's other attorney, Anthony Knowles, said there was not a sufficient investigation by Mesa police after scientific and forensic reports raised questions about the claim that Clebron fired the fatal shot. Olga Lopez, Aviles' mother, said the verdict was devastating after years of raising concerns about the investigation and sitting through 11 days of painful testimony. It was brutal, Lopez said. This is my baby boy. Lopez said she requested a review of the Mesa police report in 2024 because she believed there were deficiencies in the investigation. Hearing the defense point to some of those same issues in court was painful, she said. I advocated for my son because I knew Mesa could have done better, Lopez said. They failed us and they failed Jeremiah. She said Aviles deserved better. It has been too late for us, Lopez said, but this can't happen to other families. Aviles' death drew public mourning in Mesa. More than 100 people, including Aviles' family, gathered at Red Mountain Park in May 2023 to remember him. His father, Omar Aviles, told the crowd, "I wanted to be at his graduation, not at his funeral." His family later turned their grief into public advocacy and memorial work. Lopez and Aviles' older brother, Jamie Diaz, created the Jeremiah Aviles Foundation and the Juice No. 24 store to fund scholarships for graduating student athletes. Lopez has said the work helped carry on her son's plans for his future and gave her a reason to get up every morning. Lopez also has criticized Mesa officials over their response to teen violence, telling the Mesa City Council in 2024 that concerns she raised after her son's death were not addressed. That story was, jury finds AZ football player not guilty in shooting death of teammate. The next story, Valley Libraries use dinosaurs prizes to fight a national reading slump. Kids in the Valley have fallen in love with reading again thanks to a dinosaur-themed reading program. "I just like them getting exposed to reading," said Astra Pfeiffer, a regular at Mesa Public Library. "It enhances their minds and furthers their educational potential." For years, Pfeiffer's kids have been enrolled in the Summer Reading Game, hosted by the Maricopa County Library District. This year's dinosaur-themed game, Unearth a Story, is designed for players of any age who can earn 1 point for every minute they read. They also can earn points for attending library events. Recently, Pfeiffer's family attended an event where a library staff member dressed up as a dinosaur and paraded around the library. Kids laughed and followed the dinosaur around, a lighthearted introduction to the program. Stacy Akahoshi, a librarian at the Mesa Public Library, has seen programs like this rising in popularity. She believes the participation rates are more about the experience than the reading itself. "The way their faces lit up and got excited was so cool to see," Akahoshi said of the dinosaur event. "We're here to provide that extra entertainment that might get you to stay in the library and get some more air conditioning a little bit longer, but then also check out some books, find some books, ask questions." Akahoshi said rates have been rising significantly since the pandemic. In the Mesa District, there are already 12,376 registered summer reading participants, a 3% increase from last year. The game, which has been based online since 2013, is available to all ages. But kids are a target demographic, as parents use prizes to incentivize their children's reading. Parents have a reason to search for incentives. The National Literacy Trust declared an official literary crisis in 2024. According to the National Center for Education Statistics, 37% of 9-year-olds read for pleasure almost every day, compared with 53% in 1984. Still, libraries across the Phoenix area stay busy. Kiyoshi Park, a branch manager at Glendale Public Library, also said that she's seen summer reading games participation rise since she started her position in 2021. "Even though people think the written word may be dead or it's dying, our book circulation is just as strong as it's ever been, and we get requests for new books all the time," Park said. Park thinks it might be because of the prize incentive, which is based on location and can include anything from free books to zoo tickets. "We also buy additional things to go with the county prizes, so I think you have a nice offering of incentive to do it," Park said. "We have highly excited staff about it, and they are constantly talking about it and promoting it. So I would like to think that word of mouth is getting out there." Players redeem prizes in person at their local library based on points. Readers sign up online under an individual or family account and log points. They can win up to 1,000 points for reading books and participating in library events. Glendale and Mesa aren't the only locations getting attention. Brittany Parkhouse, a youth services librarian at Chandler Public Library, also noticed an uptick in library traffic. "I see a lot of kids like checking books out," Parkhouse said. "You see the excitement on their face when they come in to get their coupons, and they're seeing the importance of their work paying off." The reading program gives kids less rules and more reasons to read. At Mesa Public Library, Akahoshi said one of her program participants initially had no interest in reading. By the end of the summer, she found a love for graphic novels and choose-your-own-adventure series, books that are different from traditional school reading catalogs, but helped her fall in love with reading nevertheless. I had her tell me recently that reading was better than Minecraft, Akihoshi said. And that story was Valley Libraries Use Dinosaurs Prizes to Fight a National Reading Slump. The next story, Mesa Shooter's Fiancé Describes Deadly Attack, Victim Was a Hero. The man who shot up a Mesa neighborhood and killed a man before turning the gun on himself was known for being happy-go-lucky and laughing about life. But his fiancé said something happened on June 28 that sent 47-year-old Kevin Richardson spiraling into homicidal rage, and she's still not sure what. April Loza, 46, said it started with an argument at a hotel pool party and quickly escalated. She decided to leave and called her daughter for a ride home, intending to pack an overnight bag and give Richardson time to cool off. But when Loza, her daughter, and her daughter's boyfriend arrived, Richardson was waiting for them inside the house, in tactical gear. Kevin was armed at that time, Loza told the Arizona Republic. He was aiming the rifle at all of us. Her daughter's 32-year-old boyfriend, Michael Gusty, tried talking to Richardson. He was de-escalating, telling him they were just going to leave, she said. As we were exiting, we heard two shots, she said, describing how she and her daughter made a mad dash to their car while Michael got into his red pickup. By that time, Richardson was spraying bullets at everything, Loza said. He was shooting at all of us, she said. I'm not sure how he missed my vehicle. Loza said Gusty tried to run interference for them, intentionally slowing down to distract Richardson while also trying to draw his own weapon. That's when she said Richardson sent a fusillade into the side of Gusty's truck, killing him. Mesa police on July 1 released Gusty's full name and confirmed he was fatally shot. Detectives previously identified Richardson as the shooter whose rampage sent bullets into nearby homes and automobiles, striking two of his neighbors. A police spokesperson said Richardson shot at a police helicopter before killing himself in front of the tidy stucco home near Lindsay and Brown Roads. Kitty Kister, 22, whose parents lived directly across the street from Richardson's home, said her father and her 14-year-old brother were shot when they stepped outside to see what was going on. Her father was hit in the leg and grazed near his elbow. Her brother was shot in the wrist. Kister was standing between them when they were hit and was uninjured. Her father and brother were taken to the hospital and are expected to recover, she said. Kister provided photos of Gusty's bullet-riddled red pickup truck in front of Richardson's house. She said officers told her that Richardson changed magazines repeatedly during the assault, going through at least three. Bullets punched through the walls of Kister's house, the window, and the garage, putting holes in the family van parked inside. Loza said she hopes her first-hand account of events will help answer questions for her neighbors, although she still has many of her own. She acknowledged that Richardson had been drinking but could not explain what set him off. He said very little during the confrontation and the attack, she said. Loza, who was a nurse, said Richardson's friends and family cannot understand what happened. She said Sunday's events were completely out of character. She and Richardson met 4 years ago on a dating app. She said he worked at a company called Praxis UAV, which specializes in commercial drone services. She said they had bought the Mesa house together about 9 months ago. Loza returned to the house for the first time since the shooting on June 30. I'm here now, she told the Republic. It is still my home. It's what I know, and it's where Michael took his last breath. She said they have created a shrine outside in Michael's memory. It will be nice. Loza said Gusty's family is devastated, and so is her daughter. Michael was a hero, she said, breaking into small sobs. He really was. He was trying to save us. He was our hero. That story was Mesa Shooter's Fiancé Describes Deadly Attack, Victim Was a Hero. You're listening to East Valley News on Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan, and today we're focusing on news from the towns of Mesa and Apache Junction. The next story, Apache Junction's school library media policy changes discussed. Apache Junction Unified School District's policy on school libraries, media, and resource centers was briefly discussed during the June 23 governing board meeting with no action taken. Some of what is to be added to the policy is the district shall restrict from general access in school libraries, including classroom libraries, all materials that contain sexually explicit materials as defined in Arizona state law, develop procedures for site-level review, inventory, and parental access to the inventory list of all classroom library collections, and establish a clear opt-out procedure, which is easily accessible, and applies to all libraries, including classroom libraries, for any and all materials that are not directly related to content, curriculum, or standards. Each of you had a chance to read this over the break, so this is your first read of this policy, and we'll bring it back in the next regular session for approval if that's what you so desire to change this policy, AJUSD Superintendent Robert Papalardo said to the board. We've adopted the policy for libraries, all books to be monitored, lists, and all of that. So we're just extending this to classroom books as well, Board President Dina Kimball said. To be stricken from the present policy is, the superintendent shall annually recommend to the board an expenditure level for the purchase of library books, materials, and electronic media. The superintendent shall establish procedures for the removal of books, materials, and electronic media. The above is to be replaced with, the superintendent shall establish procedures for the addition of library materials and the removal of books, materials, and electronic media. AJUSD has three elementary schools, a K-5 school designed to provide students with a traditional liberal arts education, a junior high school, and a high school. The district boundaries run from Meridian Road on the west to the town of Queen Valley on the east and from the Goldfield Mountains to the north, south, into Santan Corridor. Communities served include Apache Junction, Gold Canyon, Peralta Trail, Queen Valley, and unincorporated Pinal County land in between. And that story was Apache Junction's School Library Media Policy Changes Discussed. The next story, Santan Valley Council considers salaries for future mayors, vice mayors, councilors. The Santan Valley Town Council will be considering the salaries of future mayors, vice mayors, and council members at an upcoming meeting. The issue went before the council at its July 1 meeting, but the councilors voted to table the proposal until its next meeting on July 15. The item was tabled due to time constraints as the council joined residents at a festival to celebrate local officials receiving complete control of the town's operations from the Pinal County Board of Supervisors. At the July 1 meeting, staff presented a proposed motion that would provide a $42,000 annual salary for mayors, $35,000 for vice mayors, and $25,000 for council members. Salaries will apply to future councils starting with this year's election cycle. The current council was selected by the Board of Supervisors after residents voted to incorporate the town in August. Before voting to table the motion, the town finance director, Gabe Garcia, told the council that the proposed salaries had already been incorporated into the 2026-27 budget. If you choose to go lower, you can. If you choose to go higher, you can. It's just a matter of reallocating money within the budget, Garcia said. Garcia presented a chart comparing the mayor and council salaries for other Southeast Valley and Pinal County cities and towns based on population. Santan Valley has more than 100,000 residents. Chandler, with 280,000 residents, pays its mayor $58,461, and the vice mayor and council members receive $34,234 each. With a population of 80,000, Maricopa pays its mayor $36,167, and its vice mayor and council members $22,066. Next-door neighbor Queen Creek, with a population of more than 83,000, pays its mayor $16,875 and its vice mayor and council members $10,125. Only Apache Junction, with a population of about 40,000, provides a separate salary for its vice mayor. The mayor receives $12,000, the vice mayor gets $10,800, and council members earn $9,600. Most cities and towns don't have a differentiation for vice mayor when you do those comparisons, Garcia said. Council asked us to have a higher compensation for the vice mayor as relates to the regular council members, and this is what was approved in the budget. Residents will head to the polls on July 21 to elect their first council. If needed, a runoff will be held in November. Following the election, the council will select a mayor and vice mayor from among its members. Current council members Tyler Hudgens, Daniel Oakes, Darren Schnepf, Brian Tyler, and Rupert Wolfert are running for re-election after being appointed by the Board of Supervisors. The councilors selected Schnepf as mayor and Hudgens as vice mayor. Also running for the seven-member council are Diane Combs, Jean E. Stockton, and Alex Stovall. That story was Santan Valley Council considered salaries for future mayors, vice mayors, councilors. The next story, free pet food groceries offered July 10 for Arizona families. Arizona families dealing with food insecurity can pick up free groceries and pet food at United Food Bank's Neighbor Pantry event July 10. United Food Bank is teaming up with PetSmart Charities for the 8:30 to 10:30 a.m. event at United Food Bank Volunteer Center, 358 East Javelina Avenue in Mesa. All food is provided free of charge to eligible community members. No pre-registration is required. Attendees simply need to bring a valid state ID. The need for food assistance has surged over the past year, and when families struggle to eat, their pets often feel that strain as well. Many people even make the heartbreaking choice to feed their pets before feeding themselves, highlighting just how deep the crisis has become, according to a release. The Neighbor's Pantry program is powered by the nonprofit's Grocery Rescue Program, which recovers fresh, nutritious food from local grocery stores that would otherwise go to waste, it states in the release. More than 50% of the food United Food Bank distributes comes from this program, including fresh produce, dairy, meats, bakery items, and shelf-stable goods. And that story was free pet food groceries offered July 10 for Arizona families. The next story, Alija Lyle, 16, missing from Apache Junction, police say. The Apache Junction Police Department is seeking the public's help in locating 16-year-old Alija Lyle, who was missing and was last seen July 1st. He was reported missing on July 2 after he did not return home. Lyle was last seen leaving his residence near Winchester Road and Old West Highway at approximately 10:03 p.m. on July 1, following a family argument. He does not have access to his cell phone. He was last seen wearing a white shirt, shorts, and white shoes and was carrying a BAPE brand backpack. He has brown curly hair, brown eyes, is 5 feet 11 inches tall, and weighs 185 pounds. If you have any information or see Lyle, call Apache Junction Police at 480-982-8260. That story was Alija Lyle, 16, missing from Apache Junction, police say. The next story, Apache Junction may hire associate magistrate at $60 an hour. An employment agreement with E&N Service for Apache Junction Municipal Court Associate Magistrate Services at $60 an hour is to be discussed Monday and be voted on Tuesday by the Apache Junction City Council. The council meets at 7 p.m. July 6 for a work session and 7 p.m. July 7 for a meeting in the council chambers, 300 East Superstition Boulevard. The employment agreement states the city agrees to pay employee for his/her part-time services rendered pursuant hereto at hourly rate of $60, but in no case shall employee work more than 30 hours per week. The primary reason for the municipal court request is to ensure adequate coverage when the presiding magistrate may require leave, either for a planned vacation or an unexpected illness or family emergency, Presiding Magistrate Thomas C. McDermott said in a memo to the council. Of the five associate magistrates currently under contract with the municipal court, one is no longer available and two others are rarely available. Two associates regularly serve the court on busy calendar days. However, of these two, only one might be available to serve on short notice or to cover a full week. Although she might be available to cover for a week, such a request may constitute a significant imposition on her due to the distance she resides from the municipal court. Thank you very much for your time and consideration, he said. That story was Apache Junction may hire associate magistrate at $60 an hour. Next, an op-ed piece from the Apache Junction section of yourvalley.net. This is titled Why Civility Matters. In a nation rife with impudence, common decency can go a long way toward restoring respect as we observe nation's 250th birthday, by Lee Chappelle. We live in an era of normalized boorish behavior. It has become okay to call an opponent names, to sway an argument with inflamed, hateful, and often false rhetoric. The result may elicit a response in kind. The exchange quickly spirals out of control. Or perhaps the victim does not retaliate at all and instead, intimidated, cowers, feeling helpless and sullen. The point of the discussion is lost in a volley of insults and lies. The bully thumps his chest and proclaims himself the winner. If it's okay for our leaders to do it, then surely it must be acceptable to trample someone in everyday discussion and attempt to bully the outcome. This decline of civil discourse is a national problem. It's inevitable when we're taught that cruelty is strength, resentment is identity, hating makes you superior. It's as if permission has been granted for people to be their worst selves. What happened to having morals, showing empathy, valuing integrity? What happened to being a good human being? What lesson do our young people take from this? Change has to start somewhere, and we at Independent News Media Inc. USA have drawn our line in the sand with our Civility Learning Lab and our Civility Checklist and Civility Pledge. This isn't about policy or politics. It is about human decency. Free speech is protected in this country by the First Amendment, but with freedom comes responsibility. As we celebrate America's 250th birthday on the 4th of July, it is beyond time to halt the decline of civil discourse and to reject boorish behavior. Productive exchanges of ideas are possible and more constructive without it. So why does civility matter? Why is it important? And how long will it take us to right this listing ship? According to the University of San Diego Institute for Civil Civic Engagement, formed as a partnership among San Diego area's Mesa College, Miramar College, City College, and the USD College of Arts and Sciences, improving the quality of dialogue and civic engagement through the respectful exchange of ideas is crucial for resolving complex, uncomfortable issues. It allows for disagreement without creating toxic conflict and enhances well-being. A civil atmosphere, according to the USD Institute, reduces stress, anxiety, and physical health issues associated with toxic environments such as high blood pressure. And that's the first portion of the op-ed Why Civility Matters by Lee Chappelle. This has been East Valley News covering the towns of Mesa and Apache Junction. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan. Now, stay tuned for more excellent content on Sun Sounds of Arizona.